It's a blessing tonight to have Pastor Ackam with us. When I went to Africa the last time, he was deep in school. When he came to our church last time, I was in Trinidad. So that's kind of what happens. We just miss each other. But finally tonight, we got to partake in Crony's Pizza, and we had cheese and pepperoni pizza. But it is a blessing to have Pastor Ackam with us. I just asked him, I said, "So what do you do over there?" And he told me, and I said, "Wow." He goes, "This is really laid back and relaxing for me." And they have five children, and they've adopted a child, and the Lord is using him in a mighty way. He works hand in hand with Brother Barnhouse, and we are thankful that he is here with us tonight. So, Brother Ackam, why don't you come and share your burden with us, and then preach to us, all right?
Am I on? Okay. Oh, thank you so much. Greetings from Africa, Zambia particularly, in the bush particularly from the jungle part of Africa. My name is Ackam Mlaisho, a pastor, a father, and also a servant of God. I'm so thankful and privileged, Pastor, to allow me to stand before these beautiful souls just to share what God is doing in Africa back home. Many are the things that God is doing, but to mention a few, we have witnessed many souls coming to know Christ through the ministry in Zambia, in which you as a church are fully involved in. It is long time that you started supporting the work there. Now we can say we have planted now where my side, I can say the side where I stay, 18 churches. And from our church, we had to send Fraser, who was the Sunday school teacher, up to the northern part of Zambia, the lake. There he has also started three churches. The third one is the one that Pastor Barnhouse is going this May. May is next month, to put the roof on. So a lot of things are happening, and those churches are coming to know Christ, and also we have young people in those churches, and it is helping us to change the tradition of Africa. We have a lot of wrong traditions in Africa that goes against God's word. So as we are reaching young kids, we have come up with a school. We started it 2 years ago. When we started, we had 40 kids. Then as year went, we had 80. This year we have 160 kids just there at the farm. So through that ministry, we are reaching kids, and kids are going back in their villages. Every Wednesday we preach, we have chapel, we preach to them, share the gospel. We have witnessed kids coming to know Christ through that ministry. And at Troy, where I am the pastor, five families from different community have come to join the church because of the messages they are getting from their children. They are saying, "We are going to that school because they are preaching Christ and we are saved." So even the parents now are coming to our church. So that is the ministry. Would like you to keep on praying that God will keep on providing the finances to pay our teachers and also the books that we use for school. I would like to take this opportunity to thank the church also for keep on supporting Pastor Barnhouse, because the support that goes to him end up reaching even me. So you support me in many ways. When I was doing college for 4 years, I was not working. I was like going to school from Monday to Friday, Saturday visiting, and also Sunday preaching, went back to school. I did that for 4 years, not because I had money, but you thought of supporting me and my family. Thank you so much for doing that. You had to put food on my table. My kids had something to eat. My wife, up to now, I've seen the hand of God where I'm working. So thank you once again. Sometimes it's difficult maybe to give to mission because of the time and also the difficulty of the finances, the challenges, the world we are facing in. But you take from what you have. It doesn't mean you have plenty, but because you love the Lord by giving to missions. So sometimes you see the fruits, sometimes you not see the fruits. But when we go up to heaven, my prayer is that may God add more to your heavenly accounts. Thank you. Thank you. So pray with us that the ministry in Africa is growing, and it is growing because you are supporting that, and we'll pray that if God will keep on providing, you keep on supporting that, praise be to God himself. We have a Bible Institute. We have full-time 9 students who are fully at the college that I lecture. And also we have 15 pastors who are pastoring different churches who have no proper training from the college. So they come every first week of the month. For 1 week, we train them, and they go back in their respectively churches and teach what the Bible is telling us. So with that, we continue to do and pray that God, until that time when we say the church now are fully independent. So with that, we thank you for that support. So keep on training as the Bible teachers train to train faithful men, and also they go and train other faithful men. So for those of you who have visited Zambia, my prayer is that you can come back again. We will not feed you anything that will kill you. We'll try to give you something good, but we'll present whatever we have, not forcing you, but giving you an opportunity to taste every food, every rat, every caterpillar, everything that we eat. It is nice. Yeah, so if you eat one caterpillar, God will add another year for your life. No, I was just joking. So there is many things. Maybe our prayer also is that may God raise up leaders or men from this church who can come for mission field, young men, young girls who can just come there and serve the Lord. That would be wonderful, especially such a time as this. Though it is difficult, God will protect you. Pray about that. Let's turn our Bibles in the book of John. Just share a passage and I'll be done. You have read about this passage, studied about this passage, and it is just a reminder of what Jesus said about the work that God has given us. John chapter 9, verses 1 up to 4. It is just a reminder. I want to welcome those who are watching through internet. Thank you so much for tuning in. We pray that God will give you, good ears. My accent is difficult from yours. Sometimes it's difficult to hear my pronunciation and my words. But when you sit still, you don't move, you can understand. And our God will give you grace that you understand. I commence the reading. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Amen. So from this passage, we see the dialogue between Jesus Christ and his disciples as they were passing, as they were doing ministry, as they were doing the work of God. So they had to find this man who was blind from birth, and their tradition as Jews, they were thinking when they see someone born with a missing part or anything, they would say someone sinned. No wonder they had to ask Jesus, who sinned that this man can born like this? So we see here their way of life. The same like in Africa. When they see you with the big head, they'll say, oh, maybe your mom was eating pumpkins. When they see you with the big foot, they say, oh, they were eating the foot of an elephant. So sometimes they tell women who are expecting not to eat chili. We know chili, eh? Yeah. So that when a child is born, is not born like a Chinese with those. That's a weird tradition. So you can just understand that people are ignorant. There is no science behind that. And they associate everything with nature and all that. So their disciples had the similar idea. By seeing this person born without eyes. And they said, who sinned? They wanted to find who made a mistake, who had a fault. So then Jesus said, not him, nor his parents. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for your word. And thank you because you have answers that we need. And the Bible has all the answers through Jesus Christ, who revealed it unto us. Thank you for loving us even by dying on the cross for our sins. Thank you for the Bible, because it is the only living word that we need. Thank you for your faithfulness, and thank you for everything that you do. I pray that you may bless us this time in Jesus' name. Amen. We see here Jesus Christ in verse 3 saying, not his parent, not even him. He was born like this for a reason. Brethren, there are some of the things that we can accuse other people. Some of the things we can accuse our neighbors. We can accuse our parents. In fact, let me bring this point. No one chooses the parents. You cannot choose your parents. We are just born like that. And you cannot choose where to be born from. I did not choose to be born from Africa. You did not choose to be born from here. God allowed you to be born and I to be born for a certain purpose, just like what he's saying here. He was born like this for a reason, that the works of God should manifest in this one. Brethren, I thank God for saving me, because he called me to save the people of Zambia and the people of the bush, and that's why he allowed me to be born in Africa. Therefore, whether you are born here or in Africa, there is one thing that God wants you to do. What is a reason for your birth? What is a reason for your existence here on earth. We were not born just to play around. We were not born just to do our own things. We were born, we exist for a reason. And the reason is what Jesus said in verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me. So Jesus Christ knew that he had work. That was the reason he came. That was the reason he alone came to do. Not you, not me. He said, I must work. He didn't say we must work, because he was born for a purpose. So he wanted first to do the work. Meaning, I must is a comparing word. Must, whether he like it or not, he must do that work. Whether other people like it or not, he must do that work. Whether other people will go with him or they will remain, he, Jesus Christ, must do that work. So the best way to live here on earth, brethren, is to know your work and do your work. No matter how much friends you have, no matter how much you do, identify your work and do it. Because that is a reason why God allowed you to be born. So we see Jesus Christ here saying, I must work the works of him that sent me. So let's identify this work. We see from the beginning of Jesus Christ, he's doing some work. The first miracle is in John chapter 2, verses 9, verses 4. He is saying, my time is not yet. If we read John chapter 2, we are going to find that Jesus Christ is called by his mother. And he said these words. Jesus said unto her, John chapter 2, verses 4, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet. His hour is not yet, meaning to do what God called him to do. So the first thing we are going to see in this verse, we are going to see that Jesus Christ knew or identified his work. There was an assignment or work given to Jesus Christ to do. And he was interested to do that work. Because this work depended upon the Son of Man. He alone, he qualified to be all-sufficient Savior of our sins. If he don't do that work, no one would be saved here on earth. That's why he said, I must do this work. He identified his work. And let's consider, how did he value this work? John chapter 4, verses 32. When he identified his work, he knew what he was supposed to do. John chapter 4, verses 34. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So the meat, meaning he valued the work. He considered his work, his assignment, as food. Because we see Jesus Christ, he said, you know, man cannot live by bread alone. He knew his work. So food was nothing to Jesus Christ compared to the work he was given. So he valued this work more than anything. No wonder he's saying, I must work the works of him that sent me. If you identify the reason why God saved you, how much have you done that work? Because we are here for a reason, and God is depending upon you to do that work. And it is when you finish that work, that's when you can glorify our Heaven Father. Why God giving us work? God is giving us this work because it is one way of glorifying our Heavenly Father. When we finish the work, then God in heaven will be happy. We see Jesus Christ a lot of time doing his Father's will, and his Father was saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," because of doing what his Father was telling him to do. If we continue, we'll find that wherever we see Jesus Christ doing things or saying things, he was saying, "I have not come to do my will, but I have come to do my Father's will." Always, everywhere. He didn't do anything without his Father's instruction. That's how he glorified his Father in heaven. So, the first thing we see that Jesus has an assignment. And after doing his assignment, he knew how it was, and when he finished it, he even said it. Amen. John chapter 17. When you know your work, and when you finish, you even know that I've done this work. John chapter 17, if we read verses 4, the Bible reads, "I have glorified thee on earth, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." How did he glorify the Father? By finishing the work that his Father gave him to do. That's the only way. We see a lot of things from the passage, especially from the Gospels, how Jesus did the work. Many miracles, raising people. Lazarus was dead. Sick people. He was just speaking a word, and the people were coming back to life. We see a lot of those in the Gospels. The ultimate work that he finished, it was when he was on the cross. He said, "Father, now is the time." After finishing everything, he even said, "It is finished. The work that you gave me, I've done it all. Salvation is completed. All life can come now through Jesus Christ." The question is, if you are here now and you are living, you are a Christian, you are living because God has something for you to do. The question will be, how far have you gone with that work? If you don't know it, that is a good question. It begins with salvation. When you are saved, you are a child of God. Salvation does not end upon you and me. God has given us salvation so that we can take it to the other people. I was sitting there listening to the program of the church, and there was something that I was happy with, reaching other people, other families within the American. On Friday, is it Friday? That is awesome. God wants us to reach other people while we are living here on earth. Begin with our homes, children, husband, wife, our friends, our workmate, wherever we are. That's the work God has given us to do. We cannot all be pastors. We can all be servants of the living God. In every capacities where we are, God can be represented by you and me. God is keeping you because you have not finished your work. If you were to die today, can you go and say, "Father, I have finished my work"? it will be good for you. My worry will be, if you die today and you have nothing to show to our Father in heaven, who cared so much for you and me, and when we come to the end of our lives and we have nothing to show the Creator who created you and me, kept us, it will be so sad. Because we'll see him, and when we see him, the Bible says, we shall be like him. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10, the Bible reads, we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Everyone to explain what we did with the time we were given. Brethren, now is the time. If we go back in our text, John chapter 9, verses 4, we are going to see that there is another phrase that Jesus has used there. John chapter 9, he is saying, I must work the works of him that sent me. Not only work, but also, he is saying, while it is day. Here day is referring to time. There is work given, and also to that work which is given to Jesus Christ, there is also time frame in which he must finish that work. For every assignment, there is also a due date for that assignment. You can't just write an assignment and finish it on your own time. Then it's not an assignment. Because every one of you have been to school. If the teacher or a lecturer gives you an assignment, there is also a due date. When that assignment is going to be done. If you miss that, you start losing marks. Or you get zero, no matter how good you can do it. So Jesus is saying, I must work this work while there is this time. There was time given to Jesus Christ to do that work. Here, time to you and me is referring to the life time that God has given you and me to live. We are only given so much time to live here on earth. If we read Psalms chapter 90, verse 12, the writer is Moses is saying, teach us how to number our days. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 13, 14, 15 is saying, we need to make sure we keep time because days are evil. If we read Job chapter 14, we are going to find that, let's read Job chapter 14, verse 5 and 9. 14 verses 9. No, because of time, we just read verses 12. So man lieth down and rise up not. Whoa, where am I reading? Sorry. Verse 5. Thank you. Verse 5. Job chapter 14, verses 5. Who can bring a clean thing out of unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, Lord. Thou hast appointed his bound at his, he cannot pass. Meaning, the time that God has given us, we cannot go beyond that. Our days to live on earth are set. So God has given us work to do. He has also given us time in which to do that work. So if you wait until you are 90 years so that you can do the work of God, I don't know how, but maybe because God is gracious, but now is the time. Because we never know what tomorrow will bring. That's what the Bible teaches. In fact, tomorrow is God's day. Today is God's day. Tomorrow is not our day. Jesus Christ knew his time and knew his work. If we see from that passage, John chapter 2, verses 4, 9, he's saying, my time is not yet. They wanted to make him a king. In John chapter 7, he said, my time is not yet. There was another time they said, his brethren, go, because you are just doing these things privately. Jesus said, my time is not yet. But when his time came, he started doing God's work. No one touched him. No one stopped him. In fact, when they wanted to arrest him, no one arrested Jesus Christ. He just surrendered himself because his time came. He offered his life because he said, I can put my life down or lay it down and take it again. He had that power to do that. So when we see Jesus Christ doing that work, he knew his time, he knew his work, and by that we can also see how the urgency or the needful that we can do our work now before this time is talking about. Here in verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, meaning while we are living, have this life, then night cometh when no man can work. Night cometh, it is referring to death. When death comes, no one can come up and say, oh, I didn't finish that work, let me go back and finish that work. No. Death is real. It is coming, it is on. So when you die, you can't do the work that God has called you. The time to do that, it is now, and it is urgent. It is depending upon you and me to do what God has called us to do. Brethren, we have no time to waste. Time, you call it here, time is money. When you waste money, you waste time. Time is commodity. People even sell their time. And what do you think the Bible is? We are in the time when we can do God's work. God has given you and me this time to work. It will be so sad that we waste our time in things that sometimes don't count. But remember that there will be one day you are not going to have this strength that you are having. It was 2 months ago in January. I was okay. I went to the airport, picked Pastor Bonhouse, came back from the airport to my house. I started feeling like I have malaria. I bought malaria medicine, nothing. Went to buy another course, nothing. By that time, the one who was buying was my wife, not me. I was in bed. I was in. They all 3, 4, 5 days inside the house. Then those guys who came from here, there was Cameroon, David, and Bonau said, no, This is COVID. My oxygen was just like dropping from 80, 75, 70. Now it is going to 60. I had pneumonia something, COVID pneumonia. Because when I was growing up, I was in the bush. We were eating anything. So my lungs were like affected. I had bronchitis. I didn't even know that. So when COVID came, it was like it just teared me terribly. I didn't know that. I was failing even to stand, even to walk. So I was picked, taken to the hospital. They denied me. No, we can't keep him. He's dying. On my bed, listening that. So my wife started crying, my kids. Then they said, no, we cannot allow him to stay with his family. We are shifting him to Ndola. So they had to take me to Ndola, not by myself, with the oxygen, the bottle, because they said I cannot make it to Ndola. Went with it, stayed there in the hospital for 8 days alone. No communication with my wife, with my kids, no one. But God was with me. And people were praying for me. And with the grace of God, now I know that I didn't finish my work. And because of that, God has allowed me to have this time. It's better I use it for his own glory. Maybe you could be here. God has allowed you from different areas, scenarios of life. Not maybe from COVID or from something else. And he has given you this life again. Would you use it to waste? Let's work while there is time, because death is coming when no one can work. Let's go and meet our Creator, because we shall all appear. Our works shall follow us. We are not saved by works, because works cannot save anybody. We work because he has saved us. And our works shall follow us to heaven. Let's go and present as if God just saved you alone. Let's do as it is depending upon you and me alone to do his work. Thank you so much for this time. Thank you, Pastor.
A blessing. That was straightforward, and you know what? When he was saying that about himself, I was thinking about that when they stoned Paul. And there he was dead, and comes back, and they supposed that he was dead. Man, he was not the same after, and he saw it as got another opportunity. And I'm going to ask you tonight, what are you doing for the Lord? What work is being accomplished for the cause of Christ by your hand? What are you praying about? What are you doing? And I don't even know where to begin. Well, as the preacher said tonight, are you saved? If you're not saved, that is the most important thing. After salvation, you have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God that leads you into all truth. So I ask you, are you listening? Are you yielding yourself to the work of the Lord? Man, what a great message. What a great challenge to us. These aren't just words for Pastor Ackham. This is his life. And may it be ours also. Let's all stand. Appreciate you being here with us. Definitely got the award for furthest traveled to come to church tonight. And some thousands of miles away. On your way out, if I could encourage you, Lord, touch your heart, if we could put a little something in the plate there, and sure would love to be a blessing to this dear brother. You hear all the things that they got going on. They got how many kids in the orphanage? 15. He's got his own family, 18 churches, and teaching pastors, teaching men. Man, they got a lot going on. And the church is not built with what spare time and pocket change. It takes a commitment. And this man gives of his time, and may we be an encouragement to him. Thank you for being with us. Praise the Lord. We'll pray. We'll be dismissed. And keep those requests in your thoughts and prayers tonight. And again, let's be a blessing here. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to be in your house. And Lord, I just think of the message we heard last Friday at the youth rally of challenge placed upon us, and then just hearing this message again, I just feel like they go so hand in hand. For such a time as this, Lord, I pray that, Lord, we would just give our life over to you, allow you to place us wherever, however. God, we just want to be faithful to what it is that you've called us to do. Lord, be with Pastor Ackham and his family and the ministry over there. Lord, thank you that we could have a part in it. God, maybe one day we could see it yet again. Lord, I pray that you'd watch over him, bless him as he travels to the next spot now. And Lord, again, Lord, encourage him, strengthen him, protect his family. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a good night.